Friends, we can all listen to the Sunny Side of Sports.
Great show, bro. This is Sunny Side of Sports.
Right here on the Voice of America.
Voice of America.
Good evening. Welcome to the June 12th edition of the Sunny Side of Sports. This is VOA's Jason Patinkin in Washington, filling in today for Sonny Young. We got a great show lined up for you today, so do not reduce the volume. The Tokyo Summer Olympics have been postponed until next year, but today organizers said that while they will do their best to ensure the Olympics take place in 2021, they cannot promise the rescheduled games will take place that year. Here's Tokyo 2020 CEO Toshiro Muto. He says, "I don't think there is anyone who can promise that it'll actually take place in 2021. As for the organizing committee and Japan, we are determined to hold the games next year." One of the major concerns of organizers is the availability of venues during the rescheduled period next year. But on Friday, organizers announced that most sites have been cleared for use on the new dates. Here's Tokyo 2020 President Yoshiro Mori. He says, for a significant number of facilities, about 80% of them, we have already gained basic approval on their use next year. However, there are also venues that already have reservations from other users next year, so we will continue to conduct careful adjustments. The Olympics delay could cost Japan between $2 and $6 billion, with most of the costs to be absorbed by Japanese taxpayers. But how to cut and where to cut is still unclear. There's unlikely to be anything concrete until there's a better understanding of the coronavirus pandemic and the measures Tokyo needs to take against it. Now, an update in golf. Today is round two at the Charles Schwab Challenge at the Colonial Country Club in Fort Worth, Texas. Yesterday's round one was the PGA Tour's return to action for the first time in 3 months due to the COVID-19 pandemic. Harold Varner III and Justin Rose both fired 7 under par to share the lead. There were no spectators on the course in order to limit the spread of the new coronavirus. Four players, including world number 4 Justin Thomas, were locked in a tie for third at 6 under par. World's number 1 Rory McIlroy had an unremarkable round, finishing 2 under par, tied for 39th. Now an update in the corruption trial of former head of World Athletics Lamine Diak. On Thursday, Diak told a French court that he had slowed the handling of Russian doping cases between 2011 and 2013 to save a sponsorship deal with a Russian bank. The 87-year-old Senegalese former long jumper said he had not sought to protect the athletes caught up in the scandal, some of whom later competed in the London 2012 Olympics. Instead, he claimed he was trying to ensure the cases did not come to public attention all at once. This, he said, would have caused a scandal. Journalist Nicolas Pinault has more from Paris.
According to French prosecutors, Diak directly or indirectly demanded almost $4 million from Russian athletes in order to have their names cleared in an illicit system known as full protection. Another revelation in court today when Lamine Diak claimed he had been flabbergasted to learn from prosecutors that his son Papa Massa Diak had get involved in the doping cases. He said that if what the prosecutors had told him was true, his son behaved like a thug. Lamine Diak, who was once one of the most powerful leaders in Olympic sport, is being tried for corruption, money laundering, and breach of trust. The charges carry a maximum sentence of 10 years in prison. Nicolas Pinault for VOA News in Paris.
Thanks to Nicolas Pinault in Paris for that report. Also in athletics, current 400-meter world and Olympic record holder South African Wade van Niekerk says there is no reason why he cannot break his own record. Samson O'Male reports from Abuja, Nigeria.
Wayne van Niekerk stomped over the finish line to clinch gold at the Rio 2016 Olympics, breaking Michael Johnson's 17-year-old 400 meters world record in the process. He is confident he can still challenge for international gold medals and wants to go where no man has gone before to run a sub 43 seconds 400 meters.
The world record in 2016 seemed quite impossible for many. So the reality for me is that I know that I still have a lot of room to improve myself, so much room to better myself as an athlete. So only time can tell where the investments that I've put into my body physically and mentally will take me. But for me as a 400 meter athlete and the current world record holder, it's the only thing that I meditate on. It's the only thing I work towards, is to break that record again.
I am Samson Omale in Abuja, Nigeria. It's back to you, Jason, in Washington.
Thank you, Samson. Let's now head to Ethiopia, where the coronavirus pandemic did not stop one of Africa's biggest annual sporting events from taking place. My colleague Gwen Uten tells us how organizers of the Great Ethiopian Run celebrated the event's 20th anniversary despite the pandemic. Sporty greetings, Gwen.
Sporty greetings, Jason. For the past 20 years, thousands of people have taken their marks in the Great Ethiopian Run. But this year, the coronavirus outbreak forced the event's cancellation. Organizers were determined to keep the running spirit alive. So last Sunday, Ethiopia's biggest running event went viral. 10-year-old Kia Daniel, along with her 8-year-old sister Ruth, won prizes as the youngest runners to take part in the virtual event. Kia spoke to Reuters News from Addis Ababa and said she and her sister were eager to sign up and race against a virtual clock.
I like running, but we're not allowed to run because of Corona. Like, we're not allowed to get out. We're not allowed to touch people, get closer to them. But I really like running. That's why I registered for the run. And I really like running, and my sister does too.
Desalyn Dendir also took part in the virtual challenge, along with members of the popular Ethiopian beatbox choir Merewa. Speaking in Amharic, he told Reuters the event helped people stay fit despite the current health crisis. Desalyn says the majority of people who are at home due to the global pandemic are not exercising, but by using an app on their phones, they can run individually and maintain their well-being. The coronavirus outbreak has upended running events across the globe, from the cancellation of the Boston Marathon to the London Marathon's postponement until later this year. In Addis Ababa, this year's event was dubbed Stay Safe Ethiopia. And to keep the athletes safe, organizers created an online running club through a social networking app. In 2019, 45,000 people took part in the annual event. This year, membership was limited to 500 people who ran 3 miles over the course of a week. Great Ethiopian Run director Amia Sayele admitted going viral was a very different experience for the 6-mile race. But he told Reuters, like many sports, he's had to adapt to a new reality.
This could be the new normal in the future, so we need to do some things. And we start small. You know, normally, we organize the biggest event in Africa. Now that's in question. You know, the 20s, you know, it's our 20th anniversary in 2020. So we're not sure whether that would happen or not. We have to wait and see. So starting the virtual run is timely.
And the reaction to last Sunday's virtual event has been positive. Participants said although they had to run alone, they still felt part of a wide online community. And that is all from me for today and for the week. More sporty news to come. I'll hand it back over to you, Jason. Have a good weekend.
Thank you, Gwen. That's my VOA colleague, Gwen Uten in Washington. People are also jogging during the COVID-19 outbreak in South Sudan's capital, Juba. Journalist Manyang David Mayar has more.
With sweat pouring down his face, yoga sweet Peter says he started exercising right after the first outbreak of the coronavirus in Juba.
He are making exercises to make my body stronger and strengthen. I'm just one and a half month.
Peter says he runs for an hour and a half every evening. Angok Antarakwen, a member of parliament representing Awil North County in the National Legislative Assembly, says he too likes to jog because it helps him stay fit and healthy. He runs 10 kilometers four times a week. He says exercise has always been a part of his lifestyle.
To me, it's a habit, it's a routine, something that I've grown up doing. I used to be an athlete myself. I was a boxer during my younger years, and I've never stopped exercising. It's been part of my life, and it's something that I always advocate and try to encourage other people into getting to. It's a good habit.
While government officials like Akwen and others take to the street for exercise, some prefer hiking on the mountains near Juba. Philip Anyangong is a member of the Juba Hiking and Biking Club. He says over the past few months, the club registered more members than ever before.
Recently, there were associated claims that keeping yourself, doing exercise, eating honey, eating lemon, taking lemon and things like that can help you with reducing risk of being affected with COVID-19. We haven't had proven records for that. But one thing that hiking does or maybe exercise does is that it keeps your body healthy, it keeps your body fit.
The first South Sudan High-Level Task Force on COVID-19 in May banned hiking, alleging that hikers were not adhering to World Health Organization social distancing guidelines. The task force advised people to hike on their own and avoid overcrowding. Dr. Ngu Godonkwal, former incident manager for COVID-19 at the Health Ministry, says physical exercise helps the body to combat diseases, including COVID-19.
COVID always take advantage of underlying conditions. For instance, if you have say blood pressure, say diabetes, say heart problem, all the other diseases. When you practice, this means that your body now is responding well and your body is healthy, plus, of course, the treatment you are taking. So if you fight off those diseases through exercise, then the chances of you putting off corona, if at all, are higher.
South Sudanese authorities eased lockdown restrictions in May, allowing public transport, bars, shops and markets to reopen. However, sporting activities like football remain closed. For VOA News, I'm Manyang David Mayar in Juba.
Thanks to Manyang David Mayar in Juba for that report. We have a couple birthdays to celebrate today. Brazilian winger Felipe Coutinho turns 28 today. The Bayern Munich player, currently on loan from Barcelona, first started playing at Vasco da Gama's academy and was then bought by Inter Milan in 2008 when he was just 16 years old. In 2013, the midfielder signed a deal with English side Liverpool, and while he was with the Reds, he scored 41 goals in 152 appearances. He signed with Barcelona in 2018, where he scored 13 goals in 52 appearances and helped the Spanish Giants win two La Liga titles, one Copa del Rey, and one Supercopa de España. Happy birthday, Philippe! And tomorrow, Ethiopian runner Kenenisa Bekele turns 38. Bekele is a three-time Olympic and five-time world champion who holds world records in the 5,000 and 10,000-meter races. He came close to another record last September at the Berlin Marathon, where he came from behind to win in one of the sport's greatest ever comebacks. But he fell 2 seconds short of breaking Kenyan Eliud Kipchoge's marathon world record of 2 hours, 1 minute, and 39 seconds. Happy birthday, Kenenisa Bekele. After months without bouts due to the COVID-19 pandemic, boxing is back in Las Vegas, the city that is home to some of the world's biggest professional fights. For more, VOA's Jim Stevenson filed this report.
Veteran boxing promoter Bob Arum says it's more than ethical to bring the sport back, despite the United States suffering the world's largest coronavirus death toll with over 100,000 fatalities.
People are battling this coronavirus, but they still have to lead their lives. They still are entitled to enjoyment. Nothing gives people enjoyment like live sports, whether it's boxing or football or something like that. And I think we're doing our job by putting on these events without spectators.
The 88-year-old American CEO of Top Rank Boxing is the first promoter to host a televised boxing event in the USA since sport was forced to shut down in March due to the coronavirus outbreak.
I would not put on these events if I didn't believe it was safe. I will be attending the event. I wouldn't expect any of our fighters to participate if I was afraid to attend. So absolutely, I will be there at ringside and on all of the subsequent shows.
Jacare Stevenson!
And with Arum sitting at ringside, the six-fight event in a ballroom at the MGM Grand Hotel in Las Vegas was headlined by WBO featherweight champion Jacare Stevenson, who cruised to a technical knockout in a non-title bout against Puerto Rico's Felix Caballero. All fighters were tested for COVID-19 on arrival, which Arum says is costing tens of thousands of dollars.
We've never done any testing like this before. And again, we're doing these events without the revenue from the live gate. Now that's a burden. So this is not like a situation that we're putting on an event in this environment, which is a money grab, because it certainly isn't.
Boxers are separated among different floors in the hotel with special coordinated movements to and from the ring. Fans and media were not in attendance, and the fight commentators were based remotely. Fight judges sat more than 2 meters away from the ring.
A lot of it is really something we've never encountered, because we're not medical people, we're not scientists. We've never dealt with this testing and other aspects. We've learned. Our people have worked very, very hard. We went over and rewrote protocols.
Arum is planning on hosting 2 events per week at the same venue in Las Vegas throughout June and July, mainly with USA-based fighters.
Thanks to VOA's Jim Stevenson for that report. More on boxing, the president of the Uganda Boxing Federation, UBF, Moses Muhanji, says the postponement of the Olympics to 2021 will give his fighters a better chance of qualifying for the Tokyo Games. Mugume Davis Rakarinj has more details for us from Kampala, Uganda.
Sport greetings to you, Jason, and a good Friday evening to you and our listeners. In a telephone interview, Moses Muhanji, the UBF head, says the local boxing federation is working with boxers and their coaches to ensure Ugandan boxers, also known as the Bombers, remain in form because there are no competition to participate in after sports activities were suspended to contain the coronavirus pandemic.
So the boxers on the national team, they are still training, not adequately the way they would have trained, but we encourage them to stay fit, to keep their weight, and also to stay physical. So that way, the programs are tailored for them, from the coaches, from our technical team, to the boxers themselves. And the only challenge has been about how we monitor that, because we are not having eye-to-eye contact, so that's the only challenge we have.
Prince Shadil Musa Boji was the only person to qualify in the Uganda Bombers squad that participated at the African Olympics qualifier in Dakar, Senegal, in March this year. Mohan says now that the qualifiers have been pushed to next year, Uganda will send a strong team comprising of both males and females to compete for slots at the Tokyo Olympics. He says the next round of qualifiers will be an opportunity for Uganda to have the first female Ugandan to box for medals at the Olympics.
The next qualifier, which is going to be in France next year in May, put again another team of boxers, and Europe shall qualify more from there as well. And even in the Senegal qualifiers, all our boxers were missed now because they were all playing finalists. So that means there was a high chance they could have qualified all of them. But we'll continue engaging those who didn't qualify to continue training. Just that now the challenge you're having is the style of training, because the training is not now intense, because since you can't meet one person train together.
Among the hopefuls is the welterweight boxer Emile Nakalima, who reached the semifinals in the Senegal qualifiers.
I'm training harder to achieve my goals next year. You do pad work, you do bag work, you do physical, sometimes stomach, skipping. I do everything. So if you train hard and you know you have been training, so nothing you can fear. And another thing, like if you believe in yourself, you can make it.
Another boxer hoping to make it not only to the qualifiers, but actually go on and bag a medal for Uganda is light flyweight boxer Juma Miro, the 2018 Commonwealth Games bronze medalist.
I'm well prepared for the national trials and even for the Olympic qualifiers. So I'm ready for anything. I train a lot. I train with my coach, Hussein Khalil. I go to the gym. From the gym, I go back home and I get enough rest, because I go early in the morning at 6 for training. I train 3 times in a day, every day.
Moses Muhanji, the boxing head in the country, says he's mobilizing resources to fund one of Uganda's most successful sport on the international scene. For the Sunny Side of Sport, I am Mugume Davis Rwakarinj in Kampala, Uganda.
Thanks to Mugume Davis Rwakarinj for that report from Kampala, Uganda. Next up, we have an interview with Adora Elanu, captain of Nigeria's national women's basketball team, the Tigress. Elanu tells Iron Mike Mbonye about basketball's great growth potential in Nigeria.
In Nigeria, we have a lot of our ambitions, and I think we just have to be able to put those ambitions to the test and actually produce the ambitions that we see in ourselves. As well as all other Nigerians, I think there's still a lot of hope for us to continue to succeed and to get on a path that will be pleasing to all. Even with the little steps that we're taking, I think we're a powerful enough country to get to where we need to be. But I'm glad to be a part of the Nigerian national team and the federation. And I just encourage all other Nigerian basketball players to, you know, keep striving for whatever goals they have. Don't let anything stop them.
Can you tell our Sunny Side of Sports listeners how you've been staying fit? How has the coronavirus lockdown affected your training?
Well, usually when I return home from season, I take time to rest if I can before I have any other training camp or team meetup. So if I have a month to rest, then I take the full month to rest and not really do any kind of workouts or any strenuous basketball type of workouts, aside from maybe walking or doing abdominals or maybe some leg strengthening things. I try to just relax, you know, chill at the house, complete different chores, schoolwork, read, get acquainted with people that I haven't seen in a while, or my family as well. But now it's been a little different. I think I rested for about a month and a half before I started doing any kind of activity. So I'm being quarantined with my parents, and I thought it would be a good idea for them to, you know, be active and for us to have some kind of routine. So we do some home workouts on the video that we follow. And as of recently, the past few weeks, we've been going outside to walk mostly, and we'll fit in some body weight exercises along the way.
Are you in contact with other members of the Tigress? And are you still focused on the Olympic Games?
Yes, I've been in contact with my team. We have a group forum where we discuss multiple things. We've video chatted a few times, and individually and personally, I've spoken to some of my teammates just to see either how they are, what's been going on, you know, just friendly conversation.
Sporty greetings. I'm Adora Elanu, captain of the Nigerian women basketball national team, the Tigress. You're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America. Please stay safe and avoid contracting COVID-19. Thanks.
That was Adora Elanu, captain of Nigeria's national women's basketball team, the Tigress, speaking to Iron Mike Mbonye. And that wraps up this June 12th edition of the show. I'm VOA's Jason Patinkin in Washington. Sonny Young will be back on Monday. Thank you for listening. Stay safe, stay healthy, and have a great weekend. And that's the sunny side of sports.
VOA Africa has built a successful, effective social media strategy through Facebook, YouTube, Twitter, and other digital platforms. We are responding to our audience on the African continent and in the global diaspora. We believe in the power of connection and interaction to bring you news that is comprehensive, accurate, and objective. We see the changes in technology as an opportunity to engage with our audiences about the issues that affect them. At VOA Africa, we don't just report the news, we help shape the conversation on the continent. VOA, your trusted source for news and information.
Hello, I'm Carol Castiel, host of Press Conference USA, VOA's Newsmaker Interview Program. Join us each Saturday and Sunday when we talk with authors, analysts, and policymakers who provide fresh insight on topics ranging from U.S. politics and foreign policy to science, culture, and global health. You can listen to Press Conference USA on the radio or online at voanews.com/PCUSA. While you're visiting our website, be sure to subscribe to our podcast. We'd also love to hear from you. Just send an email to pcusa@voanews.com or connect with us on Facebook at facebook.com/CarolCastielVOA or on Twitter at CarolCastielVOA. That's Press Conference USA every Saturday and Sunday on The Voice of America.
This is Heather Maxwell, host of Music Time in Africa. Join me every Saturday and Sunday for an hour of awesome African music. Wake up, dance this
music. Like to stay on top of new music trends, breakout artists, new releases? Maybe you just love the classic styles and artists of the past. Or simply the sound and feel of a good beat. Whatever your pleasure, you can get it every week right here on Music Time in Africa. So join me on your local FM station, Saturdays and Sundays at 1500 and 2000 UTC.
VOA's Our Voices television program is about more than just sitting and talking about women's issues.
It's about listening to them
and bringing their opinions to the table and making sure that their voices are heard. Because our lived experiences, our stories, and our voices will help shape the next generation.
Check your local TV listings and join the conversation each week with Our Voices on VOA.
Join your host, Larry London, for Border Crossings, VOA's Worldwide Music Request Hour, every weekday at 1500 Universal. Tune in to hear your favorite songs and artists, win prizes and giveaways, and get the latest scoop from exclusive celebrity interviews. Send in requests to our Facebook, Twitter, or Instagram, or call 202-618-2077 to have your favorite music played for the entire world. Don't miss Border Crossings every weekday at 1500 Universal.